ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. That controversial immigration law in Texas was passed, then put on hold, then put in place again. And now it's back on hold again, thanks to a federal appeals court.
The Supreme Court had given its tacit approval to the statute that allows local police to arrest and detain people who might be in the country illegally. But the high court left the matter in the hands of the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which decided in the middle of the night to block enforcement of the law and to hold a hearing on the matter later today.
That's ABC's Jim Ryan in Dallas. Catastrophic hunger imminent in northern Gaza and approaching that now in Haiti. Hundreds of thousands of people in both places close to starving, according to food security experts and aid groups. The Federal Reserve wraps up its two-day meeting today. Thanks to a hotter-than-expected inflation report, the Fed is expected to keep interest rates steady for now. As Americans get older, a new report says nearly 7 million of us are living with dementia, about 200,000 more than were living with it just last year. This is ABC News. British officials now investigating reports that staffers at a private London hospital may have tried to get a look at the medical records of the Princess of Wales. Princess Kate was in the hospital earlier this year for what has been described as abdominal surgery. New health alerts from the CDC about measles, with 60 cases now confirmed across the United States. Part of the problem, lagging vaccinations in 36 states. Here's ABC News medical contributor Dr. Darian Sutton.
During the pandemic and a time before, we saw a decreased rate in children getting their routine vaccinations. It's likely associated to these rising rates that we're seeing here. The measles is so infectious that if you're not immune to it, sitting next to someone who is infected, there's more than a 90% chance of you getting it.
And hopefully you were not banking on making bank by winning the Mega Millions jackpot, because you didn't. Nobody hit all the numbers in last night's drawing. That will likely push Friday's prize to nearly $980 million. Tonight's Powerball worth nearly $700 million. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
All eyes will be on Wisconsin when the NFL brings the 2025 player selection draft to the state. 250,000 visitors are expected. Here's Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich.
You know, maybe we don't have as many hotel rooms as a Kansas City or a Detroit, but I think it's going to be incredibly positive, not just for Green Bay, but the state as a whole.
It's the second time Wisconsin hosted the draft, the first in 1939. Do you know where? Oshkosh, Milwaukee, or Madison? The answer coming up.
It's really our obligation to pull people out of that campus when the draft activities aren't going on, to make sure that they see all the sites that we have within our downtown and other places.
And with the main draft campus around Lambeau Field, it's a time for the whole area to shine. Now, did you guess the Wisconsin location for the 1939 draft? It was a one-day event in Milwaukee with the NFL championship game the next day. The Packers beat the Giants 27-0. There's a winning slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss had some harsh words for the organizers of the attempt to kick him out of office. He spoke about the recall effort at a WIS Politics luncheon Tuesday.
You called these organizers whack jobs.
Yep.
Morons. Who else do you think are whack jobs and morons?
It's a pretty small number, but the people who did this, whack jobs and morons.
While the petitioners failed to get enough signatures to trigger a recall election under Voss's current maps, they may have enough under his new maps. The state Supreme Court is deciding which maps they need to use and are asking for arguments from all sides to be filed by Thursday. Marquette University plans to cut $31 million from its budget over the next 7 years. That's about 7% of its operating budget. Campus officials blame a drop in traditional student enrollment and the growing need for financial aid. They say program offerings, organizational structures, and campus facilities are all on the table. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Brewers beat Cleveland. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with another win in spring training, this time 8-5 over the Guardians. Willie Adames with a home run. The crew with a four-game winning streak host the Giants tomorrow night. Men's college hockey, Wisconsin's Kyle McLennan named goaltender of the year by the Big Ten, one of five Badger players recognized by the conference. College basketball. As players announce they want to transfer schools, the Badgers' Greg Gard trying to get his team ready for March Madness Friday night.
We're managing it. You have to do both, and you have to focus on preparing and winning on Friday. So, yeah, we're monitoring the portal. My phone buzzes. We have a staff text thread that goes that every time somebody of importance, I guess, or of the noteworthy, not every portal entry would be a, I don't know how many have happened today, but there was almost 500 yesterday. So yeah, you stay on top of it, and we're in contact with people because you have to be, because it's, the landscape has changed.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Sunny and colder today. We'll get to 25 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at around 10 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 8 above. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 34 with some snow possible tomorrow night into Friday. We're looking at an inch or two of accumulation by the time it all winds down late on Friday morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 15.
Tune in Wednesday for a hump day edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Speaker Robin Voss is endorsing Donald Trump. The humanity. Tune in 4 to 6 statewide.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
All right, coffee cup has been refilled, ready for another hour here on Up North News Radio on this Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. Nice to have you along. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has our forecast in just a sec. First to tell you, coming up this hour, we will again in this week's homeroom segment remind folks that the reason there are 91 school referendums on the ballot around the state on April 1st, or April 2nd, rather, it's no accident. And it's not that 91 school districts suddenly decided to become very wasteful with their spending. We're going to talk about the legislature's role in chronic underfunding of public education, kicking the can to property taxpayers, and yet property taxpayers, you know, should not take that out on the school district. Think about your legislative elections come November. We're going to talk to two members of the Chippewa Falls School District about the referendum here in Chippewa Falls and all around the state coming up in just a moment. Also, we should we'll do our little contest here right away, our Ride into Spring contest. And to do that, you're going to need the Civic Media app. So if you haven't done it yet, download the Civic Media app. And then you look up any one of the Civic Media radio stations, preferably the one in your area, if you have one in your area. And by the way, go to civicmedia.us if you want to know more about that. But anyway, use the text feature and text a keyword, and you'll be entered in this hour's contest for the Ride into Spring drawing. And the keyword is pool, as in swimming pool. P-O-O-L, text pool through the Civic Media app to one of the Civic Media stations, and you will automatically be entered. There is four winners each day, 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 1 p.m., 3 p.m. They'll draw those four daily winners, and they win an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells, and then also entered for several grand prizes that will be taken care of at the end of the contest. So again, pool, P-O-O-L, text that through the Civic Media app, and you will be entered in the Civic Media statewide Ride into Spring text contest. All right, coming up on 7:09 now, meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here to tell us that, I'll tell you, it looks better than it feels out there right now. It looks very pretty. It doesn't feel so good.
That is the perfect way to put it, honestly. You head outside, temperatures are in the teens up north to the 20s down to the south, but with those winds still whipping up to 30 miles per hour, it is feeling like the single digits in the northern half of the state.
Yes, Rob is telling us in Tigerton, it's cloudy 23, the wind chill 11. I don't want 11, but no. I got a feeling.
Pat, it goes up to 11. Yet.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, man, we are stuck in that cold here today. In fact, the winds aren't going to let up, and our highs today are only going to feel like the 20s statewide. That's what you need to dress for today. Don't worry about what the actual forecast is. Just know that it's going to be feeling like the 20s all day, but it's going to be bright and beautiful, ton of sunshine. And then we have to prep, of course, for the one of four major snowstorms that are headed our way to close out this month.
I'm sorry, what?
Yep. Just throw that on you.
Pat, can I cut her mic?
No, apparently this is like life or death stuff. We need to let her talk. Did you say one of four snowstorms coming this way?
Yes, I did. So one of four before we get into April. Actually, as we go into April, we'll have one hitting us, and I'm counting that as the fourth one. So a very, very active winter weather pattern headed our way, and the first accumulating snow Thursday night into Friday afternoon. You're scratching your head.
It's me. I'm the problem. It's me. I put a fuel stabilizer in the snowblower over the weekend. And
you did?
Yeah. We're done. We're done. Yep. It's all set.
You jinxed it.
Yeah. It's all me. All right. Thank you, Brittany. We'll keep an eye on all this.
Yeah, thanks, Brittany.
Yeah, no problem. Cheers to all the winter weather enthusiasts out there.
Yes. Enjoy your day or two before it melts each time. So there.
Thank you.
Temperatures around Civic Media look like this. It's 20 here on Lake Wissota, 14. All the temperatures around the state are down 1 to 3 degrees from the last hour. Hayward's down to 14, Park Falls 17, Wausau 22 degrees right now. Green Bay and La Crosse reporting 24 degrees. Wisconsin Rapids 21, Oshkosh 27, 27 as well in Madison and in Waukesha. And you get the forecast throughout the day here on the Civic Media Radio Network. In our daily newsletter that you can sign up for at Up North News, go to upnorthnewswi.com and click on newsletter in the top banner and become a subscriber. And you get all kinds of great little bits of information. And there's two from this morning's newsletter that I wanted to pass along that you'd be reading otherwise. The first is a story about Margaret Danhauser Brown. She was not only an inaugural member of the Racine Belles, but she was the only player with a listed hometown in Wisconsin. Now, of course, if you know anything about the 1992 movie A League of Their Own with Gina Davis, Madonna, Rosie O'Donnell, you know that the Racine Belles were part of the All-American Girls Baseball League that played 8 seasons from 1943 to 1950, winning the league's first championship title and then 2 others. But again, there was one member who had a tie into Wisconsin, and you can read more in the newsletter about her playing prowess and other achievements that she made by checking out that story in the Up North News Daily Newsletter. Also, Christina Laurie puts in a reminder there, Greg, that I had completely forgotten. We knew that Top Chef was being filmed all around Wisconsin spots a few months back.
Yeah.
The premiere is tonight.
Oh! Lordy.
Oh, yes, sir. So set your DVR for Bravo and stay tuned for Top Chef Wisconsin kicking off a 14-week national publicity campaign for the state's food scene.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to not be able to get into the restaurants I love now.
Yeah, I'm not a regular watcher of that, but I'm really glad that she got that note there because I'm definitely going to DVR that because now it's my new favorite 14 week soap opera as we follow the perils and pitfalls of people looking to be the top.
I just want to make the best food ever. Okay, that's great. Yeah, why are you crying?
I was looking at the text line here. Luke Mathers literally just texted a GIF right now of somebody being very excited about Top Chef.
Or maybe he's just Mathers. Excited that we're talking.
I think he forgot the keyword it is. And you can't win anyway, Mathers, so don't be texting that.
No, it's his reaction to Top Chef. I mean, this is nothing against Luke, and I love you, Luke. I think you're handsome and capable. But he strikes me as the type of fella who is loving Top Chef. He loves that show.
Because
he's a foodie guy. He loves the food.
All right, well, let's see if it's tonight, and then Luke is on with us every Thursday, so I think every Thursday is just going to be Luke Mathers breaking down the last night's episode of Top Chef.
Well, then what I'll be saying is, Luke, I know I watched it, but why don't you explain for everybody else what happened?
I like how you're having an imaginary one-sided fight with somebody who's not here right now.
Luke fights with me all the time.
Well, because he can. Because again, he's my very boss. Handsome and capable, and yeah, could leave you out on the street on a heartbeat's notice. Yeah. All right. There will be even more electric vehicle charging stations popping up around Wisconsin after Governor Evers signed two bills to bolster the state's EV, electric vehicle infrastructure. It allows the Department of Transportation to receive and administer some $78 million in federal funds. One of them changes current law to allow businesses to offer EV chargers that sell electricity by the kilowatt hour, which can incentivize more businesses to start offering EV charging. And it also requires the state to receive funding through part of the bipartisan infrastructure law to pay for all of this. It's all designed to support the construction of fast public EV charging stations along major driving corridors that allow EVs to recharge in less than an hour. And then there's another bill that allows more funds to come in to, again, support the businesses that want to put in EV charging stations. I would like one of those someday when the time is right, and I'm glad that many people are catching on with electric vehicles. I've got we recently bought a hybrid, not the kind that you plug in, but the kind that charges itself. And I really enjoy it. I mean, it's a game changer, Greg, but down by you, that's a corridor where you can definitely see where you'd have a whole lot of charging stations. Here up north, that's a bit of a tougher sell for now, but as that network grows, then maybe we'll see some more EVs out there.
Oh, absolutely. I have a hybrid as well. I've been driving one since 2013. I absolutely love it. It's a Honda. It's never going to die. And like I'm thinking of a new choice for a car, I was thinking hybrid or EV. And one of the things I do take in consideration is, you know, the technology isn't brand new, but it's also like, you know, I'm sure even
still
in
developing.
5 years, it'll be better. But those charging stations up north, out in the country, out in the desert, you know, mm-hmm. you have to have an app to be able to find them. And I'm terrified of being a quarter tank of gas.
Yes, right.
If my car has like 14% of electricity, I'm like, I'm just going to live here. I live in this desert now.
Well, I have a daughter that lives in Idaho, up in the mountains.
Oh,
there.
That's so cool.
And as more people are moving to that area around Yellowstone and Jackson Hole and places like that, she's noticing all kinds of Teslas and other EVs sale because people really use them a lot when they lived on the West Coast. But as they're moving out of California or Oregon and heading, you know, to Idaho or Wyoming or points like that, they're realizing the infrastructure isn't really quite there yet to be charging things.
Yeah.
Charging cars.
That makes sense.
So, like, I mean, again, it'll come. And I'm looking forward to that because, like I said, my next car, I've had nothing but Jeep Wranglers. And I love them, but my tushy's getting old now. And I need to park it in something soft and luxurious. So
I need that just to be... My tushy's getting old. I need soft and luxurious.
And now here's Pat Kreitlow. My tushy's getting old. Yeah, so it's going to be a, you know, like a Buick or a Cadillac or, you know, something like that.
A Lincoln Town Car.
Yes, there we go. Well, look, still my favorite car ever of all the old cars I had as a kid, basically, a Mercury Cougar XR7, a 1978 blue, two-toned. Oh, that thing, it was an aircraft carrier, but it was a luxurious aircraft carrier.
It got a mile and a half to the gallon.
Uh-huh, and was leaking oil like crazy, so we finally had to get rid of it. But, boy, if I could get something like that again for my elderliness,
yeah,
I'm all good. I'm all good with that. We'll unpack more of the news coming up on Up North News Radio in just a bit. Just a reminder, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Don't you love an extra $100 in your pocket? Have a TurboTax expert file your taxes for you by March 31st to get $100 back instantly. Because no matter what moves you made last year, TurboTax makes them count. That means getting $100 back and 100% accurate taxes only from Intuit TurboTax. Must file by 3/31. Credit only applicable to federal filing fees with TurboTax full service. Offer can be modified or terminated at any time.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
It's on. The anniversary of the birth of Jerry Reed.
Well, now me and Homer Jones and Big John Talley had a big crap game going back in the alley. And I kept rolling them.
If you're not familiar with When You're Hot, do yourself a favor. Download that fun little tune. All right, this in, Getty Images has determined that a photograph of the late Queen Elizabeth was manipulated. The picture agency said the image was, quote, digitally enhanced at the source, according to the handout. Getty Images can confirm that in accordance with its editorial policy, it has placed an editor's note on a handout image stating that it has been digitally enhanced, the company confirmed to Fox television stations. The photo was shared on April 21st of last year and was taken by, Greg, that infamous digital photographer, Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales. It's her again.
Oh.
Her. She, the worst Photoshopper ever, apparently.
And she's got money. It's not like she could just hand it to somebody like, here, make this look real.
Exactly. And but of course, I hate playing the conspiracy game, but how do we know that all that they blame Kate for the last one? They blame Kate for this one. Nobody's seen Kate. There was some video that purported to show her the other day. I didn't think it looked like her. So I don't know. Is she being held hostage somewhere until she learns how to Photoshop the right way? You're not coming out until we stop getting kill notices from the AP and from Getty Images.
This lacks depth and character.
The photo that Kate posted on March 10th of an official Instagram account that she shares with her husband, Prince William, shows them seated outdoors, the royal family, smiling and surrounded by their three children. And I'm looking at it, and there's the Queen sitting in the middle. Yeah, is that E.T. in the background? I'm not sure. I can't make out how she says it. The AP said they initially published the photo because it was issued by Kensington Palace, but later retracted it because on further inspection, it appeared the image had been manipulated, including, you know, the way that Princess Charlotte's left hand looked. And, you know, again, it's only leading to all the conspiracy theory talk. And again, I hate conspiracy theory talk, but when you give us no other choice, when you hide in your palace and you put out photos that, you know, look like a rank beginner manipulated, what else are we supposed to think about this? And I know the correct answer. Don't think about it. It's none of your business. I get that. I get it.
That's the question I ultimately have about this whole thing is, what consequence do we have, not just as Americans, but just as people in general, by not caring at all about this? Like, if she's in danger, then okay, fine. Then she needs to not be in danger. I hope. I mean, I you know what I mean? Like, this feels like, oh, I want to care, but I just don't.
No, I'm definitely not deeply invested in it, but I think it's just that journalistic curiosity.
Yeah.
That now here's a person in a prominent position, granted in another country, but still this person. And it's just like, we've never really seen anything like this. This is as close as we get to Capricorn One, which was the movie about how it was a big government conspiracy to stage man landing on the moon.
Yeah.
You know, there's just something there, and I'm not caught up in it, but I'm really curious. I can't wait to find out how this all ends. Or does it?
Wait, or does it?
Or does it? There we go.
If you had to listen to one person talk about something, would it rather be flat earth or faking the moon landing? You had to talk to one or the other.
Oh my gosh. I guess it would have to be the flat earth one. I don't even based on, why would you give me that kind of a choice? Yikes.
Because it's a terrible choice.
That's, yeah, that's like, you know, who do you want to sit next to? Is it going to be Ted Cruz, or, you know, is it going to be Ron Johnson? It's like, no, I don't.
Oh, I'd Ron Johnson. Absolutely. I just stare at him. I'd be like, you've done nothing.
Here's something people will care about.
Yes.
There's about to be a chocolate shortage. I should have had a sound effect there of just people screaming and running for the hills. But according to CNN, satisfying your sweet tooth is going to get more expensive. A recent report from Wells Fargo found that dwindling supply around the world is causing cocoa prices to skyrocket. And I got a feeling that, today is our climate check day. Part of the supply issue has to do with the climate, including tree diseases brought on by heavier rainfall. Cocoa tree farmers in West Africa are dealing with dry temperatures and extreme winds from this year's El Nino. The price of cocoa has more than doubled over the last year.
So therefore, we're having a chocolate shortage?
A chocolate shortage.
It was great.
I did not realize that Greg Bach had been made king for a day. No more chocolate being used with coconut. So we've now suddenly freed up a whole bunch of chocolate that can be used for everything else.
You know what, Pat? Maybe there is a God above us who smiles down and smiling down on me right now. Yes, fine. I believe. I do believe now.
Let's get some sports headlines at 7:26 here. We are only 8 days away from the Brewers opening day. I guess technically, well, not technically, but for real, the regular season for Major League Baseball opened this morning with the Dodgers and the Padres playing a game in South Korea. I think that game started about 2 hours ago. So, and those games will count in the standings. And so the regular season is underway, at least for those two teams. For the Brewers, it will be a week from tomorrow, March 28th. They will be in Queens, New York to take on the New York Mets. And then the home opener will be the following Tuesday, April 2nd, against the Minnesota Twins. But spring training baseball goes on for the Brewers in Arizona. And if you are listening on WRCE Richland Center or in the area or are going to be in the area on Friday afternoon, you can catch a Brewers spring training game against the Kansas City Royals. Again, 3:00 Friday afternoon on News from the Center in Richland Center. The Milwaukee Bucks will be in Boston tonight to take on the Celtics. The broadcast starts at 6 tonight, and you can catch the game on Oshkosh Air Support, News from the Center, Lake Aaron Amory, WRJN in Racine, 98Q Country in Park Falls, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. Again, the first couple of play-in games were held last night for the NCAA tournament, filling in one of the 16 seeds and filling in one of the 10 seeds. I printed out a whole bunch of copies of the brackets. The brackets are going to be ready.
I got asked to join a bracket thing, and I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And then I'm just going to autofill. I'm just autofilling.
Well, I mean, you can guess just as easily as you can autofill. So, I mean, that's half the fun. Like, you know, when I say St. Mary's versus Grand Canyon, and we ask ourselves, where these schools are? Where is St. Mary's?
I feel like one of them is really self-explanatory.
Well, region, yes, but what if it's in Southern Nevada? We don't know. We don't know these things.
All right.
We're gonna learn things tomorrow morning, I think, about some of this.
All right.
Anyway, then come Friday, the main tournament kicks off Thursday and Friday, and both the Badgers and Marquette are in Friday games. Marquette will take on Western Kentucky at 1:00 Friday afternoon in Indianapolis, and the Badgers, a 5 seed, will play 12 seed James Madison Friday night, 8:40 p.m. in Brooklyn. If they win that game, they'll take on the winner of Duke versus Vermont. So, you know, it's a rough path forward for the Wisconsin Badgers, but they're going to give it a go. All right, our homeroom segment is coming up next. We're going to be talking about the Chippewa Falls School referendum and what it means for all of the 90-plus around the state of Wisconsin on April 2nd. Live from Lake Wasota, this is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote.
Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin farmers, basically all of us, preparing for a pretty drastic change in weather. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Wednesday. And I'll tell you what, one of Wisconsin's specialty crops really has to monitor conditions. Details next.
Prematurely yellow beans are embarrassing. So-called friends drive by your yellowed-up soybean field and snicker, thinking you should have followed your brother into the insurance business. This season, apply Soy Green, the best technology available to fight against iron deficiency chlorosis. Your friends will turn downright green with envy. Beware of imitators. No other product comes close to the power of Soy Green. Ask your local retailer for Soy Green by name.
The state's cranberry growers are on high alert with snow in the forecast. Rochelle Beagle Hoffman, owner of Rooted in Red Cranberries in Wisconsin Rapids, says it wouldn't be so challenging in a normal year, but after all the warm weather we've experienced in Wisconsin, now is the time for them to protect their cranberry buds.
Cranberries, interestingly, have a bud on the tip of the upright, and that is actually formed kind of at the end of the fall season. And we have to protect that bud all winter and through the springtime so that it doesn't get damaged and it can have some growth and then cranberries on it for the upcoming season. So it's really important in the colder temperatures that we're doing some frost protection and temperature protection of those cranberry buds.
Rochelle Beagle Hoffman, owner of Rooted in Red Cranberries in Wisconsin Rapids, she said it's important to take care of these plants every year. She said an average cranberry plant, which is a perennial, can produce fruit for over 100 years.
Steffes Group is conducting another Wisconsin area equipment auction at multiple Wisconsin locations. This timed online auction closes Wednesday, March 27th at 1 p.m. Don't miss this opportunity to bid on high-quality farm and construction equipment. Go to steffesgroup.com right now for more information on this and other upcoming auctions in your area and nationwide. Mark your calendar for the Wisconsin Area Equipment Auction closing March 27th at 1 p.m. That's steffesgroup.com.
And speaking of the changing weather, the National Weather Service continuing to ask for citizen scientists to record rainfall in your area and any other weather-related notes you want to share. It's a pretty simple process. What they're doing is targeting key areas across the state that have little to no weather representation. Today, we're focused in on Clark, Calumet, and Crawford counties. That geography has very few rainfall reporters on the ground. Get involved today. Go to WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org. WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org. I'm PM Yonke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Sunny and colder today. We'll get to 25 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at around 10 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 8 above. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 34 with some snow possible tomorrow night into Friday. We're looking at an inch or two of accumulation by the time it all winds down late on Friday morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 15.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All right,
Wednesday, March 20th, 7:34 right now on Up North News Radio. Welcome to our weekly homeroom segment where we talk about education, public education, challenges, the opportunities, the obstacles. The opportunities for schools will include the elections to be held on April 2nd all around the state, along with school board races, county board, town board, city council, what have you. There are going to be 91 different school referendum questions on the ballot. And that's not because 91 school districts suddenly decided to get, you know, a little spendy, shall we say. It's because there is a real issue with what the Wisconsin legislature has done for state aid that has not kept up with inflation, as you've heard over and over in this segment, for 16 years. So we talked last week about the biggest of those referendums, that in the Milwaukee School District. Now we wanted to get a feel for, you know, one of the other school districts around the state. And so to that end, we brought in Jeff Holmes, the superintendent for the Chippewa Falls School District, and business manager Chad Trowbridge. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having
us. Good morning.
Yeah.
Nice good morning, Pat. Thank you for having us today.
Yeah, nice to have you both here. So let's start with just with Chippewa Falls before we talk any more about kind of a statewide overview here. But Jeff, how about if we start with you as you are kind of introducing the referendum to other people, because clearly not everybody knows, you know, that there's a referendum in their school district. How do you break the ice on that? What do you tell them is on the ballot?
Well, for us, it's a very simple question. It's a three-year non-recurring referendum that allows for the district to obtain $2.5 million per year during that period of time. It would be for the 2024 through 2027 school years, at which time it would sunset. So very simply put, it just allows for us to maintain staffing levels, programs, and services and facilities to the degree that we need to, based on the shortfall from the state. They didn't make up for their gap in inflation.
Well, and that's putting it mildly here, because again, people will say, "Well, wait, in the last state budget, there was this deal that increased funding," and again, we've talked quite a bit about how, yeah, it was an increase in dollars, but doesn't come close to making it up. Chad, by chance, would you know, is there if over this whatever period, say the 16 years that it hasn't kept up with inflation, do you know what kind of a shortfall that's meant to just the Chippewa Falls School District?
Yeah, it's been about $3,300 per student over that period of time, which is very, very significant. If we were to have that $3,300 per pupil, in all likelihood, we wouldn't be faced with a question like this right now.
Exactly. And that's the point that I know the Wisconsin Public Education Network has been making as well. And it would be one thing if it were, say, during my time in the legislature, you know, during the Great Recession, when there was not only not a budget surplus, but, you know, we were working really hard to keep the budget balanced and not run a deficit. It's quite another matter when you've got a record budget surplus of upwards of $7 billion. Estimates have it closer to $3 billion now. But, Jeff, what for you and other superintendents and school officials, do you feel like that state surplus back when it was closer to $7 billion, do you feel they could have swung that the legislature could have swung the extra $3,300 per pupil just to continue, you know, operations as they are without having to go to referendum?
Well, I do think there was an effort legislatively and gubernatorially in that regard. The problem was they didn't factor in the inflationary pieces to that. Had they made up for those inflationary increases, I think we as a school district probably, as Chad stated, wouldn't be in the position that we're in today. So I do know that there was a concerted effort, and we greatly appreciate that. But certainly in this upcoming next biennium budget process, they're going to have to do a better job of taking in consideration all factors. And it's not just inflation. We're seeing increases in the area of special ed. There needs to be help in that area as well. Mental health services, since they were placed on school districts, there needs to be help there also. So my big ask of the legislators and the governor is to look at the whole picture.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't possibly put it any better. Though I will note again, as I do, that this is not just about pointing out the legislative shortfalls, because if that were the case, you'd have voters saying, okay, well, then I'm going to vote no to all of this because the whole system is bad. But what we're really looking for is support, local support for school districts. Yeah, the legislature has essentially passed the buck and forced school districts to ask property taxpayers to raise their own costs. But Chad, this particular referendum itself, can you talk about the cost per year per taxpayer if the referendum goes through? Because I'm not going to say it's not nothing, but you know, it is something that is probably worthwhile for a lot of voters to consider, you know, what that extra cost would be, that it's not going to break a lot of banks.
Yeah, we would never say it's not nothing, because anytime there's a tax increase, it's always something. But when we look at what property values are projected or have been growing and what they're projected to grow in the coming years, we're estimating that the impact of this referendum, $2.5 million each year for 3 years, would have an average impact of about 5 cents per thousand of property value. So if you consider that to be, you know, what an average home value might be within our district, we're estimating that to be around $12.50 a year.
So $12.50 a year is what you're asking for over a period of 3 years. And Jeff, why the period of 3 years? I know that there's notes that you could project a deficit as far as 5 years out. So people might say, well, why not have a five-year referendum? Others might say, why don't you make it annual and come back to us, you know, year over year? So what is the basis for the three-year request?
The 3 years for us was discussed, was debated. I think that's the best way to put it. You know, for us, it boiled down to 3 years because of the opportunity for the state to fix the funding formula in relation to inflation and other facets of school funding that need to be addressed. So when we looked at our overall budget over the next 3 years, those were the three hardest years that we see over the next five. And also, people need to keep in mind that we're the 33rd largest school district in the state of Wisconsin. Yet in our per pupil spending, we rank 267th. So since 1993, Chippewa Falls Area Unified School District has been a district that's been frugal all along the way. We've gotten a lot out of our operations, even though we're not, I would consider Chippewa Falls Area Unified School District to be a frugal school district, and we've always operated that way. So for us, it boiled down to remaining being a frugal district. Doing it annually, we didn't think we would be able to put ourselves in a very secure position. By going out the 3 years, we have time to work with legislators and the governor and others to make them better understand that the way the current formula works is not in the best interest of schools. And we do believe that it's a state obligation to more fund schools than the local taxpayer. So well, that was our reason.
Certainly to be much more of a partner in all of this rather than continuing to denigrate and harm public education. Chad, and that was, by the way, that was Jeff Holmes, superintendent of Chippewa Falls Schools, and Chad Trowbridge is the business manager. And again, everything we're saying about Chippewa Falls, just lay that over the top of whatever school district you might be in if they have a referendum up, because a lot of these problems are very similar. And so, Chad, in a lot of these districts, as well as yours, I'm sure people are saying, wait a minute, weren't there all kinds of extra funds that were given in terms of pandemic relief? I'll put it the way some people might, what did you do with that money?
Well, it's a fantastic question, Pat. And I do think there is quite a bit of misinformation about that. The pandemic relief funding, referred to as ESSER funding, was intended to bolster education. In the state of Wisconsin, we did not get per pupil increases during the course of the pandemic. The message was loud and clear: use your federal COVID dollars. So I will add that this is something that really has contributed to this budget shortfall problem. As Jeff mentioned earlier, you know, we think the state did a reasonable job of trying to address some of the shortfalls in public schools. But when those per pupil increases were not given throughout the course of the pandemic, and then we have our federal ESSER funding that's going to expire the end of this fiscal year, that is truly those two combination of factors is what has led to this gap.
And as we mentioned at the top of the program, at this point, you know, going back to 1994, when this whole school, current school funding system was crafted with whatever good intentions were out there, the way that it's been handled ever since, if you go back to 1994, basically 80% of school districts, 80% at some point have had to go to voters in a referendum just for operational purposes, you know, in shorthand, to keep the lights on. But if this particular operational referendum, Jeff, does not pass, and again, I don't want to be accused of scare tactics here, but you have to come up with a plan. If the vote is no on this referendum, what would be the next steps that the Chippewa District would take?
Well, let's set the record straight, Pat. Right now in the state of Wisconsin, 86% of school districts have had to go to operational referendum since the inception of revenue limits. So it's grown just since the last time you probably looked at those statistics. All right, for Chippewa Falls Area Unified School District, if we're put in a position to make cuts in this next year, not related to declining enrollment, we're looking at having to make $1.9 million in cuts. For us as a school district, I commend Mr. Trowbridge. He's been here for 21 years. Again, he's one of the main reasons over that period of time that we've been able to operate as well as we have been and still remain a frugal and fiscally conscientious school district. But because of the efficiencies in operations that have taken place during the course of those years, we as a district are at a point where you're talking about having to reduce in programming and in people. That's the only two real places left to cut. And in the modern age, particularly in 2024, given everything that we know about school business, it is more about the people. You know, we're not developing products. We can't raise our prices to capture more revenue other than to ask our public to support it. It's one for me, given everything that's occurred in this district since 2014 and what we know from our constituents about what they want for their kids. If you start cutting programming and people, you're going to see a decline in your ability to offer the quality services you have over time.
And there's no other way to put that. Chad, just to wrap things up quick, any kind of a referendum is a reason for a community conversation. And as Jeff said, you've been with the school district for, you know, a long time here, a part of the community. How is that community conversation going? How are you feeling about the way that you've talked to people in the district who are going to be voting on this?
Well, we always appreciate the opportunity to be able to discuss this with any members of our community. And I would say for the most part, you know, it's been pretty positive. Whenever you ask for a tax increase, that's never an easy pill to swallow for everyone. But I would say, you know, generally people have understood why we're asking the question, whether they support it or not, you know, ultimately is their decision when they step into the ballot box.
Exactly, which they'll be doing on April 2nd, but we really appreciate being able to give that perspective to voters in Chippewa Falls and elsewhere to look at the big picture of why this is the way that it is and to maybe think about November elections rather than the April 2nd ones if you have issues with how things are going. Jeff Holmes, Chippewa Falls Superintendent, Chad Trowbridge, Chippewa Falls Business Manager. Guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pat.
We will be back with Todd Alba coming up next. You're up north.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Yeah, we're playing Mr. Rogers again, mostly just to calm ourselves after a segment like this, like we just had, where we again talk about how the Wisconsin legislature has let us down for 12 years now. And the way to take out that frustration is in November, not in April. And Todd Alba joins us now, and he too, like Mr. Rogers, is tossing shoes around.
I was trying to find a really cool dance mix, but they all sucked.
There's a dance mix of the Rogers theme.
They weren't good. They weren't good at all. So,
oh my goodness, that's hilarious. Yeah. How are you, Mr. Alba?
We could all use a little Mr. Rogers in our life. As a
always, always.
Oh, yes. I mean, hang on. Just don't go anywhere. I can still talk to you. I'm moving around.
Oh, great.
Make yourself at home. Todd Alba walks Todd off the show. Away.
Yep.
Nope, I'm coming back. Look what my sister gave me for Christmas.
Mr. Rogers figurine.
And if you want, I'm not sure if we'll pick this up, but listen to this.
I think we're supposed to hear the trolley.
Yeah. It has little quotes from Mr. Rogers. It says, "You have made this day a special day just by being you." See, that's what America needs more Mr. Rogers.
And yet, when you tried to play it for us, you held it up to your ear rather than your microphone, which really
I have an ear pod in. That's one of my mic.
Okay.
Todd knows how to do stuff, Pat. Don't be mean.
Sometimes. What's new? What's happening?
Well, we wanted to find out what's going to be new and happening on the Todd Alba show here, especially as we spoke in our first hour about the many ways that former President Donald Trump continues to spin these lies. And I feel like we are duty bound to just not let those kinds of things slide. And I'm sure that, you know, when it's whether it's Trygve Olson or other you know, either former Republicans or non-Trump Republicans, you know, hear all this, they get really bothered at hearing the same lies about Iran suddenly getting billions of dollars that went to Hamas to fund the attack in Israel because they're misconstruing, you know, some assets that were frozen. He's continuing to lie about NATO countries somehow not paying their bills. And all I'm seeing here, and then there's the one about Israel where he's saying, well, if you're Jewish, you can't vote Democratic. And that's not Donald Trump's call to make. But in all of these cases, you know, if these things aren't debunked, they're only going to spread.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we talked about it on Monday a little bit. You may have seen over the weekend, Trump was down at this campaign event in Dayton, Ohio. And of course, the bloodbath comments. And we played the entire thing on the show so nobody could say we took it out of context. And yes, he was talking about foreign trade, but he used this language. And Trygve Olson, as you mentioned, from the Lincoln Project, like myself, a former Republican, he wrote a column, or what happened was good old Scotty Walker, our former governor, tweeted some nonsensical tweet supporting Trump. And Trygve and I and Scott are all about the same age. And Trygve just took him to task on Twitter, and it got picked up by Raw Story and became literally an international story. And to your point, Pat, what Trygve is pointing out is that, look, it is this ongoing pattern of rhetoric. It fires people up. It divides us. And then he alone can fix it, in his words. And these are all hallmarks. If you add everything that you said and what I just said and what Jamie said together, it is the hallmark of authoritarianism. And I think that people in Wisconsin, Western Wisconsin, rural Wisconsin, urban Wisconsin, that may have voted for Trump in, say, 2016, that may be voting for the local sheriff who is a Republican, I just think that these divisive, hateful comments, as you point out, lies, are not going to wash with the majority of voters in November. And so, yeah, I think it's incumbent upon us to point out factually where he's just blatantly wrong.
Well, and on top of that, I think the thing that still kind of confuses me is the way that people say, well, things were better off under Trump, when there's zero empirical evidence. You know, when Trump says you're better off than 4 years ago, 4 years ago, we couldn't buy toilet paper. There right. wasn't any toilet paper on the shelves. Things weren't so great. He botched, you know, the handling of it. But that's the least of it. It's just that people know his record, or at least they should. And it's like you said, it's not 2016 where he's like, well, let's try a fresh approach with an outsider. He is so inside, he's never wanting to go outside of power again. He'll do what it takes to stay inside the corridors of power. And yet, Mr. Alba, and yet, despite Robin Voss yesterday attacking Trump supporters as whack jobs and morons for trying to recall him, he also said he does endorse Donald Trump for president this fall. You can't make this stuff up.
We used it on Monday, I think, in talking about the rally and these Republicans who are genuflecting at the altar of Trump. We used it Monday. I think we'll dial it up again. Really, the only response to that is, you know, Donald Trump has a message for all these Republicans like Robin Voss, and it's in a song, appropriately so, in a Mr. Rogers form. Only the song is from Hamilton, and it's called "You'll Be Back, Wait and See." I mean, that's Donald Trump. He's just looking at these Republicans saying, "You'll be back. And if you don't, I'll send a battalion of army peoples to convince you." I mean, that is Donald Trump, but it's a campaign of fear. It's a campaign of anger and retribution. When he says these things, as Trigby reminds us, as someone who's fought authoritarianism around the world, he means it. It's not campaign rhetoric. Believe them when they say that they're going to be a dictator on day one.
You almost wonder who has to be busier in the final weeks of the presidential campaign. Is it the Biden campaign, which will try to stay positive and talk about their achievements? Or I would argue the real responsibility is going to be on good American Republicans to say, "I'm not with this guy. You know, and I'm not even going third party." That voting for Biden is the only way that this is going to get done right.
You're absolutely right. If the people in the middle, really, and I know people don't like centrists or moderates, those words, but let's describe them, right? Trigby talks about, you know, Dobbs dads, men, white men predominantly, who might traditionally vote conservative, but have a daughter, a wife, a woman in their life. And they're like, look, I want healthcare accessible to them. And I'm going to vote for Joe Biden because of that. It's a quote unquote traditional principled conservative Republican who says Trump is a step too far. But also on the other side, it's also progressive Democrats who say, look, Joe Biden might not necessarily do it for me, but now is not the time to vote Jill Stein or third party. And to this point that we made in our show before, I don't think that people like us can look down on people who are voting for looking at third party. We have to encourage them and convince them that Joe Biden is the positive choice for democracy and for a path forward. No matter which side of the aisle we're on, if we don't have democracy moving forward and freedom, none of these other lesser arguments on policy are going to matter.
The conversation continues with Todd Alba, noon to two today, across Civic Media. Thank you, sir. Talk to you a little later on.
Don't forget your Girl Scout cookies.
I will bring them along. Count on it. All right. Greg, thank you as well. Thank you all for listening. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news outlet that's building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. You can get our newsletter by signing up at upnorthnewswi.com. Follow me on social media. Be back here tomorrow at 6.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Earl, host of The Earl Ingram Show. Wednesday at 9 a.m., I'll be joined by Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, only on Civic Media.
as a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you know, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so glass. It's like...
It's only glass. It's only glass. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A controversial law that would allow law enforcement in Texas to arrest migrants suspected of being in the country.